Open our Bibles this evening as we continue in these lessons on authority by command. And we're continuing from Sunday's message. And let's, as we get to John 3:16, let's read that together if you would. I'm going to read John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I like John 6:33. It says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto who? The world. He is the bread of heaven, and he giveth life to those that believe on him. And I like, I'm going to read this evening, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I like the Holman Christian Standard Version. It says, the revelation of your words gives light, or brings light, and gives understanding to the inexperienced. And the Young's Literal Translation says, the opening of thy words, that would mean the revelation or unfolding, enlighteneth, instructing the simple. Hallelujah. And the Amplified also says, the entrance and unfolding. So that means you got to let it in before it can be unfolded. You got to let it in your heart and get it down in there, and the Holy Ghost will take and unfold and reveal that which has been allowed to enter in. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's turn over. I'm going to just, well, I tell you, these scriptures in John are just blessing me. I don't know about you, but just blessing me. John 14 and verse 10. I want to spend some time again reading that and meditating on those particular scriptures. John 14 and verse 10 says, believest thou not that I am in the Father? This is Jesus speaking. This is red letters here. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And I shared on Sunday that word doeth is to be the author of a thing. That means he's the author of the works. He doeth the works, and works is something undertaken. It's an enterprise or an undertaking. So the Father is the one doing the works. And Jesus, further in other scriptures in John, and I'll have you turn over there in a minute, he said that, let me turn over there so we can read it. Let's go over to John, I believe it's, let's go to John 6. There's a few scriptures. Let's go over to John 5 first. John 5. John 5:30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. See, so right there, that's just exactly what he got done just saying. He said, that I, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He didn't make them up. He did not make the words up. He said, I don't speak of myself. He said, I speak to you not of myself, but from the Father. So he said here, I can, John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, what does he say? I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Hallelujah. And I like in John 14 and verse 10 in the Amplified, it says, but the Father, well, let me read the whole verse in 10. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord. Now, we're going to get further on in that scripture in a moment. It says, I do not say on my own authority. See, now hold that thought there. My own authority and of my own accord, but the Father in me, the Father who lives continually in me, does the works, his own miracles and deeds of power. And the Message translation says that the words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. So the Father is doing the work. And Jesus has said here, I don't come on my own authority, but it's the Father in me. He does it. He's doing the work. And let's jump over to Philippians, because we read this scripture Sunday, that Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And I like the Message translation. It says, think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. That's what he did. He set aside his divine privileges and he became a slave, or he became human. And that's pretty much what the scriptures, when you read over in John 1, let's turn over there. Let's go over to John 1. And we're to let this mind be in us as it is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. What does that mean? We're not going in our own authority. We're not going in our own authority. We're going in whose authority? In his. So we're to let that mind be in us. John, I'll read John 1:1. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became a human. He was made flesh. And actually, if you read the modern translations, the New Living and the Complete Jewish Bible, they basically say the Word became a human being. And the Worrell says the same thing. He put on the Word put on a human body. So he became a human being. And actually, Romans says the same thing. He came in the likeness, Romans, I believe it's Romans 8, 8:3 or 4, you can look it up. It says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. The same thing. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So what we saw on Sunday as we were walking through these scriptures, that there's a process that takes place. And we began to see that all the miracles and everything that Jesus did, he didn't do as the Son of God. He set aside those divine privileges and he did them as a man, anointed, full of the Holy Ghost, without measure, and directed of God. And you can see that in the scriptures here, that not one miracle he did as the Son of God. He did it as a man. And so that is a process, and you can see here that as we read in John 14, that was the word of the Lord that came Friday evening. That word kind of just stuck with me when Evangelist Tammy said, the Lord spoke to her about a process. Well, she was talking about a process, going through something, but that word stuck with me, process. And so I began to just see some things here about a process. What is that process? And we can see here that the miracles and the manifestations that occurred under Jesus' ministry were at the Father did the work and directed him, but who actually did the final work? Who gave the command? Jesus gave the command at the Father's direction, and who did the actual work here in the earth? It was the Holy Ghost. And so that process hasn't changed and is not going to change. And so let's go back over. I want to look again at Genesis 1:1, and we can look at 1-3, and we can look at that process again. It's good to look at that, so you get that down in your heart. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what's next? It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, when you look that, you look up Genesis 1:1 in other scriptures, other translations, let me read the Amplified translation. It says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. Now, this is what I like in the Amplified. It says, the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Nothing happening. He's brooding. He's hovering. He's waiting. For what? The command. And then what's verse 3? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Holy Ghost moved. On what? The command. And so that process we can see here again right from the very beginning. And we went over to Luke, and we looked at Mary when the angel Gabriel came and spoke to her words from heaven. He was the deliverer of words from heaven. And starting in verse 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He's going to do what? Who's going to give it to him? The Lord God. The Father God is going to give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel Gabriel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And of course it goes on, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. But who moved? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moved at her command. She heard some words and said, be it unto me thy handmaiden. And the Holy Ghost moved. Same process. Same exact process. And so we can see, and we shared on Sunday, that what is 1 Peter 1:23 says? We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. And so we can see that the same thing, when the Word of God was preached to us, the Holy Ghost hovered in our midst. And when we said, I receive you, he moved. Same process. Same exact process. And that process is not going to change, at least in this dispensation, it is not going to change. That the Holy Ghost, and we shared that what happens on Friday nights, we worship God, we praise God, we lift our hands and worship, and the Holy Ghost manifests himself in a measure, and he's brooding, he's hovering, waiting for not the command, but the direction that we get and are led, and we all collectively do what? Release a command. It's not our command. We can't do anything of our own selves. We're not coming in our own authority. We're not coming in our own name. We're coming in the name of Jesus at the direction of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is waiting to do what? Do it and execute it. And so that's why it's so important that we catch hold of that. Because as we shared on Sunday, and we were sharing, and we'll pick up for tonight, we were sharing the scripture verse. Well, let's jump over there instead of me just sharing it. Let's go over to I want to go over to Colossians, but I was looking to see if I want to go somewhere else first. No, let's go over to Colossians. Colossians 2. And let's look at verse 15. Colossians 2:15. And see, what I did on Sunday was I read the scripture verse from Matthew 8:4-8, that when Jesus was led, after he was led into the wilderness and he came back out, it talks about the devil taking him up and trying to tempt him after he hungered and then took him up on a high place or a pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms. See, and that was the thing. It said that, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Well, what I read there is kingdoms, when you look that up in the Greek, kingdoms says it's royal power, kingship, dominion, and rule. And it also says not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. So the devil was showing him this rulership that he had. And what did he say? He said, I'll give you all of that if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, what did he say? He said, you know, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But I was sharing also that in when Jesus came, and in Colossians 2:15 it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He has been disarmed. He's been spoiled. His rulership, his dominion has been spoiled. Because Jesus said, all power and authority is his. So all dominion, all power is Jesus's. And he got it back and stripped the devil of it. And so what I was sharing was that when we look at John 14, and we go back there, let me just read that, when it says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we ask in Jesus' name, we can take back legally and rightfully what that dude has been stripped of. He's been stripped of his rulership and dominion. And as Pastor, the Holy Ghost was sharing through Pastor Judy, that the church is in a paralytical state. They're just kind of sitting back, getting beat up on the left and the right, and kicked around. And that revelation, that knowing of who they are in Christ, is kind of waning. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, they're just sitting back thinking that, well, maybe it's God's will. No, his will is you're supposed to be taking back and executing what God wants. In other words, what on earth did he send Jesus for? He sent him to destroy the works of the devil and to put back and give his name to the church. So we can see here that we are to take back that which has been taken from us. So in other words, us sitting back here just waiting on the Lord, no, he's given us dominion, he's given us authority here in the earth in his name. And so we're to exercise that. And then what are we saying? When we release that name, the Holy Ghost is hovering and brooding to execute that. And he's waiting on us. And so tonight, let's just pick up a few more scriptures of where we left off on Sunday. And let's continue, go back to John 14. And I'm going to pick up at verse 11 here. And read 11 through 13, or 14. It says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. How? Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And see, he says it again. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So with that command, the authority is given with the command. Now, back up to John 5. Let me just stay here a minute. John chapter 5. And I want us, we were there a moment ago. I want us to look at, starting in verse 26. Talking about authority. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now look at verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also. So he gave the Son authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And this is what we read before. I can of my own self do nothing. See, so even though he was given authority to execute judgment, that's true, he was. But he also said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, if you look up that word authority, it's exousia. And it is the power of rule or government. It's the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. It's the power of judicial decisions. So in this case, Jesus said that as I hear, I judge. So even though the Father gave him the authority to execute judgment, he did what his Father told him to do. That hasn't changed. That process hasn't changed. He's given us authority here in the earth. He's given us a name unto men. He's given us dominion and authority here in the earth in Jesus. But we're not to do it of our own accord. We listen and we hear and we speak. That process is still the same. Hasn't changed. Let's look at John 6:38. John 6:38. I'm going to just have you bounce back and forth here a little bit. John 6:38 says, For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So he's not doing his own will. As I hear, I judge. Now back, let's go back to John 5. Right there, go back to John 5. Look at John 5 and 42 and 43. Verses 42 and 43 in John. And keep in mind all that what we're saying here, we're using foundationally, we're looking at John 14, 10 through 14. Now, John 5, it says, "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name." Ooh. See. He's coming in his Father's name. "And you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." Now listen to this in a few other translations, because we're talking about authority, and I think it's good to just listen to this. This is God's word translation. "I have come with the authority my Father has given me." Woo. He has come with the authority that his Father has given him. "But you don't accept me. If someone else comes with his own authority, you will accept him." Uh-huh. Listen to this in the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says in verse 43. "I have come in my Father's name and with his power. And you do not receive me. Your hearts are not open to me. You give me no welcome. But if another comes in his own name and his own power, and with no other authority but himself, you will receive him and give him your approval." See, we're not coming in our own authority. We're not coming in our own name. What did we read Sunday? "I bow my knee under the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Who's done what? He has, it says here, "For this cause I bow my knees under the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We're not coming in our own name. We're not coming in our own power and authority. We're coming under the direction of the Lord Jesus. In his name, whom I'm named. So I'm coming with his authority. So when I speak, it's as if the Father's speaking. Because Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Why? Because I go to the Father. And he came in his Father's name. So I'm coming at Jesus' command with the Father's name and his will. Boy, I'm telling you, somebody's got to hup too when the name of Jesus is spoken. And so, let me read this out of the Message translation. John 5:43. "I came with the authority of my Father." Oh, I like that. "I came with the authority of my Father, and you either dismiss me or avoid me. If another came acting self-important, you would welcome him with open arms." Well, I'll tell you, we're not coming in our own self-importance. We're not coming of our own name and our own authority. We're coming in the name of Jesus. So when we speak the commands and the directions that are given us from heaven, from the Father, and we release those words, the power of the Holy Ghost moves in at that direction, and it has to happen. Why? Because it says the Father does the works. He's bringing it to pass. So I tell you, that excites me, because his word is what? Forever settled in heaven. That means that's it. That's the way it's going to be. No ifs, ands, buts, and about it. Amen? Glory to God. And let's go over here a minute. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 10. Let's take a look at some other scriptures during the ministry of Jesus. It's kind of a, what you might say, a foreshadowing of things. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he did what? He gave them power and what? Against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And when you look that up, that word power there is not dunamis, it's exousia. It's the same thing. It's the ability or strength which one is endued. It's the same thing I read before, the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Who gave him that authority? Jesus did. He gave him that authority. They were going on his behalf, in his name. Now, let me just, I'll add that in a minute. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And look at verse 1. It says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." So, that word power is dunamis power, and the authority is exousia. So you can see here, he gave them the ability to perform miracles. He gave them that, and then he also gave them the what? The power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to. So they went, they had the power and the authority. Now, I was never in the armed forces, but I think that's a good example to use right here. If I go at the request of a commanding officer, and I bring some request to someone else, that has to be honored and obeyed as if that person was there. Is that not correct? And there are consequences if it's not obeyed. And I would imagine you're going to either find yourself in a brig, or I would imagine in some situations you probably could be shot if you didn't obey. And so it'd be no different if that individual had that other superior rank's coat on, would it? No different. I'm going at their bequest. We are his name. What does that say? That we are the whole church, the whole family is named in heaven and earth. We're named by Jesus. And so when we go, we're going at his bequest. And I'm telling you, we've got to take that, a little, what's the word I want to say? Stronger, that when we go, forget about, it's just me. It's not you. We hear this so often. Well, I didn't think, it's just me. It's not you. Who are you? You're not only an ambassador, but your spirit was supernaturally changed. You look like Jesus. Your DNA is his DNA. You're holy on the inside. You are named by his name. When you go, you're going as if he went. When you show up, you know, like what T.L. Osborne used to say, he said, when I get off the plane, royalty has just arrived. Who has just arrived? Jesus. And so when you go, stop thinking it's just me. No, you are going at his authority. How we know that? Mark 16. What did he say? He said, go. He gave a command, didn't he not? He said unto the disciples, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. That's a direction. And with that came the authority. How do we know that? Because he went on. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them in his name. And if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover in the name of Jesus. How we know that? Because you are going at the request of Jesus to go into all the world and to do these things, and you're not doing it on your own ability. You're not coming in your own name. I'm coming as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to impart heaven to this situation. I'm coming in his name, and his authority and his power is going to be executed. And it shall be. Is that not so? Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, let's go over to Ephesians. Let's look at this scripture here. Let this sink down in your spirit, man. You know, you could have heard of this 100 times. And probably have. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at starting in verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as we go into our daily lives, keep the antenna up. You're on assignment. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. What does it say? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. And so we are ministers of reconciliation. And as we go, we're at his bequest. We're being directed and divinely directed of the Father. And so as we hear, just like Jesus, as we hear, we judge, we obey, we release words. And we can expect the Holy Ghost to move in that situation to bring about what? The Father's will. And so wherever we are, listen, keep your eyes, keep your ears open, keep your heart open. I mean your spiritual ears. Keep your heart open to be used and directed by the Lord. And I believe that this church is becoming sensitive to the Holy Ghost to be used in ways that God desires that his church be used. I think some folks, they think, well, you know, I come to church on Sunday and I did my deed. But what God is looking for is a supernatural force that can go into this earth and do just exactly what Jesus did. What did he say? He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. So God is looking to use the church to do greater works. And I can tell you, if he did that with the apostles, and he did it with the disciples, what about us? And he's looking for a supernatural church directed by a supernatural God. And I'm excited about it because we're in this season of what the Holy Ghost shared on Sunday. This is a call it season. And so this season that we're in right now here, we need to be listening to God to speak and release words that the Holy Ghost can bring to pass. And whether that's us corporately as a church or whether that's individually, it doesn't matter. We're in training. Training at home, training on the job, and then when we come in, we're ready. We're ready to be used. I'm here, sir. Use me. Let's all get ready to be used at a service so we can be worshiping, let the Holy Ghost move and direct us as to release words. I mean, when you think about it, that's no different except there's similarities. But when you think about what happened in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, it said nothing that they imagined could be withheld. God had to come down and confuse it and confound it. The difference here is that we're going to be directed by the Holy Ghost and the Father, and we're going to release words, and nothing will be withheld from us. Nothing will be, because we know what the scripture says, nothing is impossible with God to those that believe. And so what he's looking for is the people that will trust him. And that is really resonating more in my heart lately, is trusting God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what your senses tell you, trust in God. Trust in God. Because really, isn't that what Jesus said in in Mark 11:22, he said, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. That's trusting in God. And so God is looking for a people that will trust him. What does that mean? Hear him, listen for him, seek him in everything we do. Everything that we do, we look to him. Look for his direction. And then release words. The Holy Ghost will move on our behalf. And it'll come to pass. I tell you, it's a wonderful way to live, really, because you don't have to make it happen. You can just rest. And that's where, when we talk about, when it says, wait on the Lord. When we wait, we're waiting for him to give us direction. So we can rest. We don't have to make it happen. We don't have to make doors open. He opens the doors. He creates the opportunities. We speak, and he makes it happen. Boy, I tell you, that's a wonderful way to live. So we can cast all of our care upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to pick up again on Sunday. Meditate on those scriptures. Meditate on John 14 and verses 10 through 14. Meditate on that. And we'll pick up again on Sunday, because I believe there's more light in that. And the more you meditate on that, God will begin to unfold and reveal more of that. and strengthen that in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're gonna finish where we are finished for tonight. I think we're gonna cut it tonight. I think that'll be it. I don't have anything else other than to just go back through that, add some more scripture, and let that get down in your heart. There's something else. I just think I'll end here and pick it up Sunday again, as I said. But there was another facet of this, but I think I'll hold that till Sunday. Father, I thank you for this word that we've heard. Father, I believe that the word of God is powerful. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And I thank you, Father, that even this word that was shared this evening is full of power, full of authority, and we thank you, Father, that as we receive it and let it get down into our hearts and as we meditate on it, we'll make our way successful. And I thank you for it. We give you all of the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.